Welcome to Love Works with Chris and Karen Conley. This is Karen and Chris in studio today, and it is great to be with you. We have a terrific topic that I think everybody here is going to enjoy. Chris is the lead pastor at High Point Church sitting next to me. I know you're glad to be here too, and we're talking on a specific slice of one of your favorite topics.
Yeah, we're going to talk about making vision stick today. And as we talk about that, every organization really thrives or suffers from whether they have a strong vision or a weak vision. This is vital for every single person to be able to apply this even to their personal life, to their business, to a nonprofit, to church. So everything rises and falls on the leader's ability to make vision stick.
One of the terms that we're going to talk about is vision being sticky. If you love leadership as much as we do, and Chris especially does, you may be familiar with a book by Dan and Chip Heath called Made to Stick. That would be another outside resource that if this really kind of lights a fire in your mind of things to think about, another great resource. And Andy Stanley is someone that we completely respect and have admired and learned so much from over time. So that, again, if you're looking for more information in addition to this podcast, would point you to those. Chris, what we're going to do is talk about five different ways that you make a vision stick. When we talk about vision, you know, it can be a word that gets so overused that people don't even really know what it means. Define vision and help us know where to start.
Well, I think vision is a clear mental picture of your preferred future. So when we think about a vision, what we've got to do is we've got to say every vision, it really begins in many ways with a problem. So what we've got to do is we've got to say, okay, there's a problem that demands to be solved. So that vision is, I look at it and I think, you know what? This problem deserves to be solved. And I think, what could be? What could be in this realm? What would happen if we could solve this problem? And then once I think about it and it begins to kind of fire me up a little bit, I begin to get passionate about it. I move from what could be to what should be. And then we even move from what could be to what should be to what must be. It is absolutely essential that we define this problem, we solve this problem, and then what we've got to do is we've got to present a compelling reason why we need to do it right now. But that's where the tension comes in, is the right now.
Well, and in the right now world, one of the statements that you and I were thinking about prior to this conversation is just how crazy life is. And it's so easy in the rat race of life that we're just surviving. Kind of this idea that vision is what could be and what should be, but life is about right this minute. Let this be an urging to our listeners, whether this is in your personal life, goals that you need to set, things that need to change, whether this is, there's always this consistent issue within my team or within my group of friends, whatever the case may be, it doesn't always have to be this way. How is it that we begin to take this idea of vision, make it a reality, not just a slogan, but something that actually works? So start us out with kind of the first place. If you want to make something happen, what is the first thing that we want to do in terms of vision?
To make vision stick, there's a five-step process. And we're going to break down that five-step process over two podcasts. The first one is this, is that we state the vision simply. We state the vision simply. And you've heard me talk about this before, but we like to make it clear as mud. Memorable, understandable, and doable. It needs to be clear as mud. Now, in that, a lot of people, when they have a vision statement, the thing turns into like a paragraph. You'd have to have this great memory and you'd have to have 5 minutes to recite it. I'd rather a vision be incomplete and memorable than to have one that is complete and forgettable.
And that seems like outside of anything that you would ever learn in a classroom. You know, it's all complete sentences and make sure it's thorough. But in terms of making something actually stick, that's absolutely true.
Well, in order to make it stick, it's got to be easy to communicate. You don't communicate in paragraphs when you're communicating vision. Oftentimes, you're communicating in word pictures. You're communicating even in the world of graphics and slogans and images.
that's even more so true in our culture right now. I just came from a meeting and we were talking about not specifically vision, but promoting a program. And they're like, you know, we've had all these different types of promotion, but we don't have it on Instagram. It's that image with that short amount of verbiage that people are used to in this culture. You say it's got to be something that's easy to communicate. Apply this in a specific example. How does that work at High Point?
We say that our vision is simply to prove that love works. So if I were to put it in a single sentence, we exist to prove that love works. But the way that everyone sees it and in the way that everyone says it in our church is simply love works. That is our vision. And what we did there, we took the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment's like the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. We took the new commandment that we should love one another, even as I have loved you, you should love one another. We took the golden rule that we should treat others as we want to be treated. And then we took the great commission, go and make disciples of all nations. What's a disciple? A learner and follower of Christ. What are they learning how to do? They're learning how to love God and love people. So we took those four commandments and we just said, what does that really mean? It means that when you love God plus love people, that equals love works. It just simply means that those four commandments summarize every truth in the Bible, and we can summarize every truth in the Bible by proving that love works.
So that's our vision. But if you've been around any organizations, you have slogans and logos and values. For me, I enjoy leadership, but I'm not a student of it like you are. What is the difference in those types of things? And do you need all of those? How does that all play in?
Well, our vision is what we want to accomplish. It's closely related to our mission. So like biblically speaking, our mission is the Great Commission. Okay. It's love God, love people, make disciples. Our vision is a word picture of our mission. And it's what we want to accomplish. Now, a slogan oftentimes just speaks to our culture. And what's very, very important about our culture is oftentimes your culture provides kind of the good soil that we've talked about in previous contexts for your vision to thrive, for your vision to do more than simply survive. And so like at High Point, our slogan is a perfect place for imperfect people. See, that speaks to our culture, to who we are. We offer people compassion without compromise. When you have this culture, it's easier to prove that love works in that type of culture. It's easier to advance that vision in this type of culture. But then the difference between vision and slogan and values is our values really speak to who we are and what we do. Who we are and what we do. So we have four primary values at High Point Church. The first one is this, found people, find people. We learned that one from New Spring Church. We just simply couldn't say it any better than they said it. We typically say at High Point Church, invest and invite. We want you to invest in people and become a trusted friend for the sake of eternity and invite them to come experience what God is doing in and through this church. And the best way to say that is found people, find people. So it's who we are, but it's what we do. The second one is this, connected people, connect people. So once you become connected and you experience what it's like to be a part of the body of Christ and you experience all the benefits of loving one another, encouraging one another, serving one another, then you want to connect other people to that. Connected people connect people. The third one is serve people serve. So once we have been served, it should create a desire in our heart to serve others. So the third one is serve people serve. And then fourth is that grateful people give. Now, a lot of times in church, you know, people think, oh, you know, I don't want to hear the money thing again. No, it's not about that. It's about I'm incredibly grateful for everything that God's given me. And because I am grateful, I love generosity. Because I am grateful, I want to be generous and fuel the movement of God in and through this place. So that's kind of the difference between a vision, a slogan, and a value.
I want to make some application, maybe a little bit of a right turn from what you were just talking about. And we'll continue on with these five different steps of making a vision stick. But let me kind of address that person out there that's not connected with an organization, or maybe they are in an organization, but they're not a leader of it. So they're not making a vision statement for themselves or, you know, for the organization and slogans and values. And let me maybe just take it back to your family. And I think about walking into my daughter's room this morning. I wish I had taken a picture of it so that I could remember exactly what's on her mirror. But she wants to be an excellent lacrosse player. She put out there in writing for her to look at what she wants to accomplish. And then she had by it basically kind of her breakdown of, okay, what do I need to do to become an excellent lacrosse player? And so she wanted to run a number of times a week, and she wanted to do wall ball a couple times a week. I say all that to say that you don't have to be the leader of an organization like you are, Chris, to have a reason to go, what do I want to accomplish? Let me put it out in front of me. Let me be clear about it. Not just like, oh, I hope the year goes well. Could you make it specific enough that you have something to keep in front of you to remind you?
That's also a great example of culture. We didn't teach her that, but she just lives in our home, and there's a culture of kind of setting goals. And there's a culture of not only does she set a goal, but then she created a strategy to fulfill that goal. She had this vision. The vision was her preferred future, to be an excellent lacrosse player. And then she took that vision of her preferred future and said, what could be, what should be, what must be. And these are the things I've got to do to turn that vision into a reality.
So let me also just play the backside of that. I got a text the other day from our son. We're at the process of looking at colleges and kind of the beginning part of that journey. He was calculating his GPA, and he was like, I wish I had paid better attention to my grades my freshman year. Okay, here's a picture of where, man, if we have a vision out there and we know on the front end, Mark wants to go to Alabama, I want to put that in front of me and I have a vision of what my preferred future is, that can help us from taking those detours along the path. What do I want our family to be like? So this idea of vision is something that can be a great conversation starter, but what we're trying to help you do today is move from, hey, start by having the conversation if you don't have an idea of what your vision is for your family or for your organization, but then how do you make it stick so that it's not just something that sits at the dining room table and never has legs?
Well, take the example of going to Alabama. That vision is out in the future. And the important thing about a vision like that is you have to work backwards. So you have to say, okay, if that's where I want to end up, then I need to work backwards and say, what do I need to do? And that's where we've talked about, like, high school is like four quarters in a football game. That freshman year is that first quarter. What's the score at the end of the first quarter? Are you ahead or are you behind? And then when you enter into the second quarter, your sophomore year, are you leading or are you playing catch up? And if you get behind at halftime, it's really, really difficult to come back and win the game. But if you're ahead, then actually you can just build upon that lead and make greater progress toward your vision.
So we have talked about the first thing you need to do. You need to state the vision simply. Second thing that we're going to talk about is the idea that you have to cast the vision convincingly. Now, Chris, because I've lived with you and because I think you had me read Made to Stick last summer, we were somewhere and you're like, here, read this. It was excellent. But when we talk about casting the vision convincingly, this is more than just like a good rah-rah speech. What does that really mean?
You have to communicate the vision in a way that people feel the vision. It's not just intellectual. Vision casting is emotional. Vision casting is relational, and that's why it often has to start with defining a problem. But you have to define a problem that people care about. You know, there's a lot of problems out there that we don't care about. It's a legitimate problem. It means more to someone else than it does us. But if it really doesn't influence or impact my life directly, then unfortunately, I may not care about it. So if your target audience doesn't know what's at stake with this problem and the need for this problem to be solved, then the vision will never stick. So you have to find ways to make them care about it by defining the problem in a way that's personal, in a way that's emotional, in a way that's relational, in a way that personally involves them.
I think that might surprise some of our listeners to think about it being emotional. Explain that. For somebody that's a new concept, that just kind of maybe seems like it. Really? Like, why is information not enough? And elaborate, though, on how important that element is.
Well, in the story of Nehemiah, he had this vision to rebuild the wall. But the wall had already been down for like 100 years. And everybody knew the wall was down. And he had a new solution to an old problem. But in 100 years, they hadn't been motivated to rebuild the wall. So what he did is he came and he gave them a new reason to rebuild the wall. He said, we have become a reproach as God's people to God. into God's city. He gave them a new reason to believe that it was important for them to rebuild the wall, to reclaim what it meant to be God's people and to honor God. But not only that, it got really emotional and it got personal when he told them to rebuild the wall next to their house. All of a sudden, when they're threatened by the enemy, their life is endangered in some way, and they can start solving the problem by rebuilding the wall next to their house, they've got personal involvement. They've got personal responsibility. And there's this emotional component that I've got to protect the people I love.
I think once you kind of step back from it, you realize to get people to do anything, you have got to connect to more than just the head.
In that connecting to more than just the head, let's take that vision of High Point Church, Love Works, and let me show you as well how that goes from the head to the heart. So when we think about that, we're defining a problem. What's the problem? The problem is that for the majority of people in the world, love's not working. And what they want more than anything, whether they really know it or not, is they want for love to work. But the problem's actually worse than love not working. Love's actually hurting in many ways. People, when they misappropriate love, when they use it out of context, when they misunderstand what love is, it hurts instead of works. What we're doing is we're trying to define the problem in a way that is beyond intellectual. Define the problem in a way that's personal, relational, emotional. That kind of problem demands a solution. Now, it's important for us to understand that money can't solve that problem. Only Jesus can solve that problem. Only through Jesus that love covers a multitude of sins and never fails. It doesn't work any other way with any other person. And so the only way that love goes from not working to working is through Jesus. The only way that love goes from being misused and used out of context and being misappropriated where it actually hurts to get to where it heals is through Jesus.
Well, another way that you can look at this as you're trying to make sure that your vision sticks and you're defining the problem, it was really impactful for me to consider what would happen if you didn't attempt to resolve this problem. What happens if you don't fulfill your vision and all of a sudden you begin to see that, man, it's not just, hey, things aren't great now, but what is the long-term effect of leaving this issue unresolved?
There's a multiplication effect. What happens is more and more people will never come to faith in Christ. More and more people will never benefit from what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, to have a family and to have a community that sharpen one another. And there's like 58 different one another's in scripture that all contribute to us. And, you know, it's those things like we instruct one another, we encourage one another, we exhort one another, we love one another. And Christianity was never meant to be lived in isolation. We were never meant to be orphans. We were meant to have parents and brothers and sisters and friends and family. And it means more and more people that if we don't prove that love works through the church and all we do is talk a good game, but we don't live it out, more and more people will leave the church. And then those problems will multiply and escalate. And there's going to be greater and greater hurts and greater pain and more divorce and more drugs and alcohol and all of those kind of multiplying problems. And so you're exactly right that vision is a solution to a problem. But if we neglect to provide that solution, it just multiplies in a terrible way.
And you really kind of lead into that next element. When we're talking about cast the vision convincingly, we are defining a problem. We absolutely have to do that. And sometimes the problem, if it's not bad enough the way things are right now, look what happens if we continue down a path of letting things go and not fulfilling the vision that we're proposing. But then you just alluded to, you can't just define a problem. You've got to offer a solution. What does that look like in the realm of having a vision that sticks?
Here's what it looks like. A vision has to be a solution to a problem. What solutions are we proposing? When we take the example of High Point Church and that the vision is love works, we are saying that we're going to prove that love works. We're going to look at every single problem that exists in mankind. We're going to look at every social problem that comes into existence in a city, in a community. And we're going to say the way to solve that problem is for us to come together as the people of God and prove that love works. We also solve that problem by creating a perfect place for imperfect people. See, you got to be a people and you got to be a place. to come together, to rally people together, to take this vision and move this vision to reality. Some examples from other churches like North Point Church, Andy Stanley's church, their vision is to be a church that unchurched people love to attend. To be a church that unchurched people love to attend. Or Bill Hybels at Willow Creek in Chicago, create a church for the irreligious. For us, we're learning from people and we're saying, you know, our culture is to be a perfect place for imperfect people. But our vision is to solve the problem of love not working and to make love work through Jesus and the people of God.
As you talk about culture and specifically as we're talking about High Point Church, one of the things you have to do is to say, okay, how is your organization positioned to be a solution to that problem? And I know we would say that we design our church to be introductory and progressive. So those are kind of two specific terms that people might not necessarily think of off the top of their head, but show us how that actually walks itself out.
Yeah, so introductory is you have to constantly introduce new people to your vision. In the world of church, you're introducing people who may not believe what you believe. You're introducing people who may not have any interest in what you believe is the solution. So you have to find a way to make your message attractive, to make your message interesting. One of the things that we talk about is that we create a safe place to hear a dangerous message. We want it to be safe for them to come in and be introduced to it and to explore it and to kind of take their own time. But then we want them to hear a message that just changes their life and revolutionizes everything. And so we design our church to prioritize relational evangelism. You know, that's where we said found people find people in our values. That's where we talked about invest and invite. And then we design our services with the guest in mind. So it's not like you come into our church and as a guest, you're there and you're going, I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand why they sit here, why they stand here. I don't understand this language. So we try to, this is not a word, but I'm going to use the word. We try to de-weird it. Sometimes we just come across weird. All right, let's not be weird. Let's be simple. Let's be straightforward. Let's define our terms and let's make it introductory. But then also we've got to make it progressive for all the people who are believers. How do we grow them in Christ? How do we grow them in loving God, loving people, making disciples? And we understand that spiritual growth simply means this. We are moving people from where they are to where God wants them to be. So spiritual growth, it's defined by movement.
That is very helpful. And we're talking about the different steps to make a vision stick. We've talked about the first one, to state the vision simply. The second one, to cast the vision convincingly. And within that, we're saying, okay, you've got to define the problem and you've got to offer a solution. The last one within the concept of casting the vision convincingly is we've got to present a reason. We've got just a few minutes here before we wrap up, Chris. Tell us a little bit about what it means to present a reason.
Yeah. So the reason explains why something must be done right now. The reason has to be compelling. It has to grab my attention and it has to have a sense of urgency to it. And it's just something where, oh my gosh, I do agree with you that love isn't working. Because love's not working, there's all these problems. And if I could dedicate my life to one thing and to one purpose and to one mission, and if I think there's one thing that would solve all the problems, if I could take love from not working to working, I would join in. I'd sign up on that team. I would do something. So you got to give that compelling reason to do the right thing right now.
I hope that this has been helpful and that we've kind of piqued your interest, that you will join us for part two of this podcast as we talk about how to make a vision stick. And so we will join you next time. If you want more information, you can go to highpointmemphis.com. Also, chrisconley.net. You'll find Chris blogging there, and karenconley.com. And most importantly, we want you to remember that love God plus love people equals love works.